This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good idea after you've had a few. That's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta. It's a rainy day in Georgia, but we got Dukes and Bell to put some sunshine in your life after the Hawks give you a magical comeback. Woo! My man Carl Dukes, his voice is still coming back, so I will run point, but Carl will give you his takes as we start the show, and everybody jump in, or in two. Oh, no, Mike, never mind. With a big hearty, hey, man. You sound better than yesterday, though. Feeling better?
Listen, I went home, and I've not spoken out loud, so it may take a minute for it to kind of click in, but no, I feel great, man. It's not that. It's just the vocal cords. I could be here all day right here. But when I stress it, then, you know, it is what it is, but... Feel great, and you're right. The win last night was absolutely incredible.
No, and Andy, I keep, like we keep it straight on this show. I ain't gonna lie to you. And they're like, "You should stay for the game." I said, "No, there's too many Celtics fans. I don't like Boston, and I jetted."
Oh, they left. They were leaving PO'd last night.
Oh, and there's nothing better. And we all know this, especially when it's a Braves game or a Falcon fans are probably used to it more than anybody. And you do send those fans after they talk all that jive.
The best
for three quarters or eight innings, and you send them home.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me last night, and we keep talking about this team, and listen, this is an aberration, right? We're not going to come back from 30 the rest of the season. We may not see this for another 15 years. But the effort and the energy last night to not give in. When this game turned to a 30-point game, I literally turned to my wife and said, I just shook my head because I wasn't speaking. I was like, And I left the room. The game was still on. I was doing some stuff on the computer. I literally, 30 minutes went by. I come back in, and I'm like, they've cut this lead to, like, 12. And then I sat there, and I started watching. And the way this team played and responded last night, just give them love, man. I mean, we don't have three guys, you know, in this starting lineup because of various injuries. And then you talk about the guys that stepped up, and you mentioned Veet. Veet's going to come on and join us. Veet Krejci, he did an amazing job, Mike, shooting the ball, playing defense. They got steal after steal and just climbed back into this thing.
Play defense.
Yes, they did play defense, some of its parts. Now, we've seen this before with other teams, but this is historic. As you guys know, teams were 5 in 2,606.
Crazy.
Heading into last night, went down 30 points over the last 25 years of the association. And then, you know, you and I were talking about the Celtics and maybe, you know, Jason Tatum is going to be clutch this year. The guy you got to watch out for, and this happened last year, is Mazzulla.
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla did. Now, look, you're not defined by one game, and hey, they had a 9-game win streak, but they should have had a 10-game win streak. I was talking to you guys before the show. It was Jaylen Brown. The play is, all right, so what's the play? You're down a point. How about Jaylen Brown just stands at the top of the key and just doom, 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 and nobody move. And then he's got to scramble to get a shot off because we played really good defense, and it just turns into a great big nothing. Go the other way. DeJounte misses the jump shot. Capella with that keyboard, whoosh, kicks it out. Now the play probably for DeAndre is to just dribble around, but he puts it up and it goes.
It was great. I mean, listen, at that point you're screaming, don't shoot it, because they would have had to foul,
right.
Okay? But DeAndre, with the confidence he's playing with right now, and you know, we've said this, we need him to be this guy. This is the guy we've been wanting to see night in and night out. Mike, he hits that three, and it was game over. Huge shot. And I also think, you look at the numbers, DeAndre Hunter, or not DeAndre Hunter, but DeJounte Murray, Mike, 15 assists last night.
Getting everybody involved.
Everybody was touching the ball. So, you know, it's one of those things. He did his thing, but he also got guys involved. It's just a great team win. As far as the Celtics are concerned, it is Mazzulla. It is their stars, I think, at the end of these games. I saw it in the Denver game a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. where they're just kind of searching, Mike, to figure it out. And I don't know if it's the flow, if there's a pecking order, meaning, hey, we're going to Tatum. He's our guy at the end of these games. Jaylen, you're our second option, right? Or is it just whoever has the ball in their hands, you do what you need to do. But whatever it is, I don't know if that's going to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at these teams that have won championships in Denver, Mike. It's all about Joker, right? End of games, that's where we're going. He's either going to shoot it or he's going to get us a shot. Like, this is what championship teams have, and I haven't seen that from Boston as good as they've been this year.
You know, about, what, 4 minutes left or just under 4 minutes when Tatum throws that thunderous dunk from, like, you know, halfway inside the paint? I mean, that's usually a momentum shift. Okay, turn out the lights. Boston's going to go on a run. But we didn't get spooked by that.
And by the way, you don't have to worry about those things when you're winning games by 12 and 15 points tonight.
Correct.
Which is what Boston's been doing. In close games, where teams have had a chance to win is where they faltered. It's where they've fallen apart. That's how the playoffs are.
Yeah, it was 3 minutes and 20 when Tatum makes the big dunk, and they go up 111-109. You're like, oh, man. And all of a sudden, you just – you know, I just love the fact that this some of its parts, patchwork, you know, roster they put together, and these guys don't – they don't buckle, and they just keep coming back. So that was great
to see. Does this give you any more confidence?
No, zero. Okay. None. I mean, I'd like to, but I mean, I don't be that negative in that. I don't want to be that mean-spirited about it. You love what you're seeing from DeAndre Hunter. You just touched on it. Is this, but remember like 2 years ago in the Game 5 loss to Miami when he goes for 31?
It was incredible.
Is this, if he can stay healthy, is this the sustainable DeAndre Hunter? Because if so, moving forward, whatever this team's going to do in the offseason, you keep DeAndre Hunter, you keep Jalen Johnson.
Yes.
Bogey's probably most likely a trade bait piece. But, man, you got some stuff that other teams don't have necessarily. We just got to find the other components.
Yeah, you look at DeAndre's body, right? We've been saying this for the last 4 years. His body, man, he's got an NBA body like most guys don't. They wish they had. And you just go, man, he could be physical. He could do all the things you want him to do. And when he's playing with confidence, I think you get the guy we got last night. Huge comeback win, 30-point win, 30-point comeback. And again, we won't see that for a long time, but I'm just enjoying it, Mike, because it's cool to see all the guys that weren't playing involved. Like, everybody's on the bench going crazy. It was really cool to see.
Now, he's not going to have get close to, obviously, 70 games or anything like that. He's got 47 with less than 10 to go. But he is on pace to have his highest scoring average of his career. We've talked about, I mean, it just passes the eye test. DeAndre, when we're winning, DeAndre Hunter is a big part of it, doing big things every night. And then last night, as I said, it was fun to snap Boston's win streak and then also send those fans. And again, we know it's a heritage team. We see this with a lot of our sports. Nothing you can do about it. A lot of transplants in this town, and they support those teams. But it was great to set them home with the L.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily give me confidence that they're going to do something special either in the playoffs. But what it does say is if you play with energy and effort, right, you can be in some of these games. Last night, again, 30 points, that's crazy. But, Mike, if it's a 10-point game and you play with that kind of energy and effort, I don't care who's on the floor.
Right.
Like, you can be in some of these games that we don't expect them to be in.
Now, I guess the question is, you know, if you do string, to your point, a bunch of wins together and what's left of the season, you know, the organization's not going to lean on Trey. Trey's going to play when Trey's ready. He's a superstar.
Right.
But, you know, it's just tough because what – are the expectations? Yes, when you take down a Celtics team like that, when you had, what was it? It seems like it really was like months ago when we had like the 5-game win streak. But I mean, we've seen this team go on runs. The underlying factor for this team, and that's maybe why if there's any excuse, it'll be the injuries. Because you're still now a game and a half behind the Bulls for the 9 seed. The Sixers, by the way, have fallen all the way to the 8.
Yeah. No Embiid.
Yeah, you're not going to catch them though, not with the time remaining. So it's either you're 10 or you're 9. So, you know, but then again, You know, you're going to go up – like right now, the Heat – you could argue the Heat maybe get back in the sixth, the locked-in position. Pacers all of a sudden kind of, you know, wobbled a little bit. That's a team which is kind of like a better version of us because they don't play a lot of great defense, but they score a lot of points.
Yeah, they do. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you guys think, by the way, of the win last night? Because, Mike, I think it was the best win of the season by far.
Definitely. And for – I mean, packed house. The energy was – look, at 6 o'clock – people were lined up down to what would have been the old CNN sign, right? I mean, people were really fired up to get in there and check it out. Part of that was because the Celtics are the best team in basketball. But it will be interesting. I know I read some of the columns in the Boston Globe, and they were talking about Missoula and talking about this is, you know, because in Boston, they want, like most towns, they want to win every game. And they were just talking about the acumen coaching-wise, and what were you trying to accomplish in some of those final possessions, which didn't pan out.
All right, man. Maybe they can build on it. Mike mentioned Veet's going to join us. I think he scored, what, 16 last night? I think 16 or 18. Mm-hmm. Really good for the Hawks last night. But, Mike, at the owners' meetings in Orlando, there's a lot going on, man.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. The new kickoff rule will happen. The kicker will be at the 35. Everybody else will be lined up at the 40. And then the receiving team will be anywhere between the 35 and the 30. And there it'll be. And you're going to have two guys back there. You're going to have less collisions. You'll have contact. And basically a sort of a de facto line of scrimmage set up at the 30-ish or 35-yard line. And then the return man will try to find his way up. No fair catches.
No.
So that's one aspect of it. I still think push the kicker back to the 30. At some point, we're going to get Rich McKay on. He's busy making these new rules. The one that I think you can understand, but you don't necessarily have to like it, is this new hip tackle. Randy Mack talked about it. He got injured when he was playing with the Rams back in the day. And that was more of a horse collar. He was telling us off the air. But in this case, I don't think we need more rules. The swivel hip drop tackle technique, we talked about Mark Andrews with the Ravens. Is it an epidemic? I don't know. How do guys tackle? And already you're seeing defenders on social media saying, look, whether you're a corner, a safety, or a linebacker, what are we supposed to do here?
It's going to be, again, an adjustment for all of these defensive players. But I get where the league is and where you talk about taking out a play that Mike can potentially injure somebody. I'm all for that. I'm just not for losing the physicality of what the game has always been about. The game, you know what the game is? I'm tougher than you.
Right.
I got to tackle you. I got to find a way to tackle you. You may be bigger than me. I may be bigger than you. At the end of the day, this is a toughness game. And I think when you start to limit those things, right, it just makes it more susceptible to become what we've already seen, an offensive league. You're going to score more points. You can't touch receivers. I can't bring you down a certain way. Mm-hmm. This is where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, through hook or crook, you're just going to increase scoring. And I said this yesterday. I'll say it briefly. I just don't give the refs more stuff to misinterpret. They misinterpret blows to the head on the quarterback. They misinterpret targeting. You know, it can be a crucial moment in a big momentum shift. And all of a sudden, the ball's first down 15 yards because you tackled the way you were taught for, you know, the last, you know, 100 years of football. Hey, man, this hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season, guys. Go to mancavestore.com. We'll take a look at the headlines. We got the Sweet 16 about to kick off. And the Falcons telling the NFL, go pound sand. There's no shenanigans as far as recruiting Kirk Cousins. We'll dive into all that next on Dukes and Bell. Pitity?
Yeah.
You know, well, save for the one guy in the Hyundai who just goes, choo, 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 choo. People, you know how people drive in the rain?
Stupid.
So I'm sitting there, and, you know, because after like 17 driver's ed classes, some of it is finally starting to take, Carl. So now I actually count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi between the car in front of me. Because I'm not going to be riding up, because in case there's like an accordion-type accident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you do that, all of a sudden, guys...
So you've changed your habit over 15 years.
The way I used to drive, that zip right in. Now I'm like, look at that jackleg. My wife's like, what do you mean that jackleg? That was you up until like a year ago. Well, that guy was a jerk. So be safe out there. Remember, not everybody knows how to do it in the rain.
It wasn't bad. I agree with you. It wasn't that bad.
Right.
But I didn't have any crazies in a Hyundai, though.
Right. Well, just he was like, dude, I mean, not to mention, you know he's not legal. You got the tag applied for. Come on, man. You get pulled over. You ain't got no papers. You're talking a bunch of jive, man. Come on. And you're right. And to add insult to injury, he did have one of the wheels was like the small wheel from the flat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just, it's like a, you're a one-man doomsday machine, bro.
Yeah.
See, Carl, took me to be 56, 55. I'll be 56 this summer to finally, you know, chill and be cool and look at the big picture. You're not buying it?
No, I listen, I know you've changed your ways. I know that you've changed your
ways.
I just
thank you.
But I also know that you can snap right back into
Christ. No, that's not gonna happen.
I already know this.
Not this guy.
Yeah. I know when somebody rolls up, you can snap right back into that.
I sit back there and I go, I'm now, I become Mr. Anderson and left lane. I'm just gonna keep it on 65 where it says 65, Barbara. Hey, man, just real quick, we were talking during the break. We're going to get more into this in our NFL Blitz. But the NFL also today announced that there will be more Christmas games. And it just, Carl, in the same week that they give you new rules for player safety, right, under the guise of player safety, you're going to probably have, these are going to have four marquee teams. Giants, Eagles, I believe it's Chiefs, Broncos, I believe, or I forgot. I know Chiefs are playing in one of these. Raiders, Chiefs, Raiders, on Christmas Day. Safe to say all of these teams will already have had a Thursday night game. So they'll, hypothetically, they'll have two teams, four teams now, that have done the four-day turnaround, which everybody knows, and every player hates the Thursday night game because it's a bad quality of football because no one's healed up from the previous week. So to me, it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of greed, and they're talking out of both sides at our noggin. That's the way I read it.
Well, you guys do realize we're going to add another game, right?
It's coming. 18's coming.
You realize that.
Now, will they give you two bye weeks? That's going to be a $64,000 question.
They will, and the players have already talked about what the compensation is going to be, Mike. And, you know, that is going to be included in the new CBA. It's going to happen. Right. And I think the way that they're handling this is kind of an experiment to get there. Because whatever happens is going to continue to happen. Mike, you know this. Once you go down this road,
you're there.
You're there.
We always say the toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube. The money's there. They're not going to go back.
You do it this year. And then guess what? Next year they'll do it again, and all of a sudden this becomes the new norm.
And it's not like baseball when you go from 154 to 162. Nobody gives a crap about the NFL records.
No,
if we're honest, other than maybe rushing. Hey, by the way, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was watching some MTV, the old style one that shows the videos. And since I can't reach your high note on Let's Hit the Headlines,
yeah.
I was thinking like doing it Bowie style, like David Bowie.
Give it to me.
Let's hit the headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
I like it.
We could have headlines. You and me. All right, just one segment. Orange, not a fan.
Those videos were cool, by the way, back then.
Headlines brought to you by our buddies at ATL. Live well, don't just live, live well. Now, we talked about the fans getting into it. Here is Quinn Snyder using some metaphors to talk about how the fans helped them keep it in the game against the Celtics. Mm.
Anytime you're down that much, you know, you have to do something, you know, out of the ordinary a little bit to get back in the game, whatever that is. And when you have, you know, a group of people that you know are behind you, and particularly when they're behind you, kind of thick or thin, you know, rain or shine. And there was a lot of rain early, and they were a big part of, you know, helping the sun come out.
So if you were there last night shouting down those evil chuckleheads from Chattertown, you were part of the sunshine.
Well, I do know this. It got loud once the Hawks got back into that thing. And then when DeAndre hit that three, the place exploded. So it looked like we were outmanned when we were there, seeing all those Celtics fans come in.
Right.
But whoever was there last night,
courtside. Yeah, courtside was getting up and getting in people's faces. It was great. Here's more from Quinn Snyder on, I guess the question probably was, Coach, I noticed most of the season we haven't played a lot of defense. What changed?
Well, I think we made them more uncomfortable. You know, those guys are such good players that there's a fine line there, and I thought early in the game we were trying to do that, but we were fouling. And, you know, they're still – it's, you know, Tatum and Brown, it's hard to guard them because, you know, they're comfortable with contact and they're drawing contact in order to create space. So I thought we held our ground better.
Yeah, man, the come-from-behind victories, we said, the historical nature of it, and just people blown away. And by the way, we always talk about never getting love nationally. It was all over SportsCenter. A lot of that had to do with Boston, of course, but it was all over. It was in both the hourly and the half-hour reset, so you got to see a lot of the Hawks, so it was kind of cool. He tithes his, I believe, you know, he had 36 minutes against New Orleans, but it was a lot of minutes for DeAndre Hunter. He had been kind of load management, if you will, getting it back up there, minutes restriction, but he was a big part of it. Here's DeAndre on why you decided to shoot at the end of the game.
I mean, my teammates were asking me the same thing. I told them once CeCe got the rebound, I said if he passed it to me, I was shooting. So he got the rebound, he passed it to me, so I shouted.
So he's just kind of, you know, his own thing.
Obviously. The time, clock, situation, awareness. Either way, he hits that shot, and again, it was a dagger, but I don't know if it's the right basketball play when you have the lead and you get another possession. Just run it out, and you know, then it's a free throw shooting contest. But either way, man, that was a huge shot.
I believe John Wooden would want you to back it out.
Yes. Yeah. Four corners. Let's just run four.
Dean Smith would too. We want you to kind of take some time with that.
But
Jack Ramsey would want you to maybe kick it back out and just dribble a minute.
Well, Mike, again, when he caught that, and you're like, no, don't do it. and he shoots that, and then he hits it, and then all of a sudden it was like, yeah!
You know, but just when you're in the moment like that, and he was, and he's feeling it, and it just seemed like it just the huge dagger.
That's really right. That's right.
I could just hear Holman go, no, yes, on that one. One more cut from the Hawks last night. We are going to talk to Vit Krejci coming up. The Czech wonder checked in last night, and here he's talking about not quitting.
You know, at the halftime, we were talking about never giving up, you know, and we knew that, you know, they made some tough shots. We just knew that we got to continue to do our stuff and you know, trust in our shots. And, you know, shots start falling in the third, and we got our confidence, and then we were just rolling.
Kind of hoping for more of a James Bond villain accent, but not so much. Not as much as Bogey.
No, he's a good dude, too. They're trying to develop him, Mike, and he's gotten a lot more playing time because of the injuries, but... he came up big last night, and we'll talk to him here coming up next hour.
Hey, the Falcons did not break any NFL tampering rules to sign Kirk Cousins. We were talking about this. Now, I know that a lot of folks feel the whole legal tampering period is just so, you know, it's a misnomer by its name. It just seems so ridiculous. But the NFL is still investigating whether or not the Falcons violated league rules when they signed Cousins. And he did mention in his introductory press conference he had been talking to somebody on the training staff.
Yeah, trainers. Yeah, I don't think there's anything here. The guy that made a big deal out of this was Florio.
Yeah, because Florio's got a mean on for us for whatever reason.
He's the guy that tried to make this a bigger story than what it is. And, you know, all these guys talk, like Mike's saying, you know, the gray area of legal tampering is just that. I mean, when do you start these discussions, Mike? Don't you find it amazing how quickly these deals get announced and how they come about?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been in discussions.
Now, it's weird because if a player doesn't have an agent, you know, like say we're talking about Saquon Barkley's situation, there's other players, you know, how do you interact? What do you send, smoke signals? There's going to be contact. So I think most fans think it's silly, and I don't think it comes to draft picks. I think it's a cash fine. I mean, if you lose a draft pick over this, even albeit a late one, that's just ridiculous. Especially when, I mean, common sense would say a guy's kicking the tires on teams. You know, the news has already been leaked by, you know, on a Sunday before the, you know, then it would be officially announced, right, on a Wednesday.
Right.
And you want to find out, hey, I've been rehabbing an Achilles. You know, some things that might be in the pipeline. Silly. So we'll see. Arthur Blank was doing media rounds. We just saw him today on NFL Network, and he was saying that, I know there was no tampering from our standpoint. And that's it. Done. Next question.
Don't find me.
So whatever conversation that was is very innocent. You'll see. So there you go. And he says, we'll deal with it if the league decides it turns out to be some cash. And hopefully that's not the case. Also, guys, we just mentioned the NFL, the rulings, and more on this in the Blitz. We will, you know, have this new kickoff, which I guess is okay. You know, it creates a little more action. The tackling is still fans are going to have to deal with that. And then the Christmas games, a doubleheader on Christmas Day, which falls on a Wednesday this December 2024.
Yeah, Roger Goodell speaking. Mike, what do you think he said?
In the guise of player safety, we're making advancements.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we limit injury. Coach, Commissioner, what about playing 4 days late in the season? What?
Safety concerns. Here's what Goodell said.
Safety concerns.
The rest is the same from Saturday to Wednesday as Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah.
So that is their criteria.
You feel it's good in a 17-week season for two teams, with marquee players, by the way, because this is in marquee games, to have 2 4-day turnarounds over the course of that's not like player safety is really a concern there to me, if you're honest.
That's how they're defending it, by the way. So and Christmas Day, by the way, Orin. I mean, they're just coming in Bogarting the NBA.
They took the NBA's candy this year. The TV numbers were insane. The money is there. The revenue, again, the NFL is a machine. Nobody's seen anything like this. I mean, you know, they're doing better numbers than what the English Premier League does in Britain now, which is, if you want to put it in perspective as far as what's considered like, you know, total domination. And now we're going to start the season in Brazil.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that coming up in the NFL Blitz. Final note, Braves taking on the Twins again as one of the final spring training games.
Time out.
And Braves leading 6-4.
Somebody went deep today.
Who was it?
Oh, I don't know. I'll let Turtle tell you who went deep.
Don't tell me. I'm looking it up right now. I don't want to give it away. Is he considered a bum?
Kelnick, man. Kelnick went deep.
He's up to 143. Every journey begins with a single step.
Ball. I'm telling you. Would you stop it?
In this case, a few more steps to the Mendoza line for spring training.
I'm telling you, it's going to take some time.
Boom. Okay. Yeah, Turtle's just really hard on this new piece. We don't even know this guy yet.
I told him.
Yeah. And by the way, that bum is out of context. That's bum about us. That's another player. Unless Orin repurposed that bum from when we were talking about Kelnick 2 weeks ago.
So, no, we when we came in today.
I believe that's a Desmond Ritter bum. I don't believe that's a Kelnick bum.
Big O said, you're never going to believe who went deep today. So, listen, patience, right. Turtle. This is what we're talking about. He can't speak because the mic's broken.
Listen to Grant McCauley. Come on, Turtle, you're better than that. Anyway, and Mark Bowman and the guys, you know, these guys have been around ball. Nobody remembers what you did in spring, Carl. It's what you do in October.
Would you tell him that? I said that to him outside.
Well, again.
Tell him again.
He's a Yankee fan. They get worked up over a lot of stuff. I don't know what's
tell
going
him
on.
Again.
I don't know.
It's patience. Not on the back
listen,
of
listen to Axl ball. Rose. A little patience. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com and get your man cave or upgrade it, man. We'll come back with Bob Herrig. We've talked to him a lot, dialed in on the PGA Tour. He's written a book about Tiger, The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods, a weekend that literally had Carl and I, like, turning handsprings, like so many people, when he came back to win Augusta. We'll talk to him next. More on the Hawks' big cover behind win last night that was kind of historical against the Celtics. It's the Dukes and Bell, man. And we love golf. We play it. We love Tiger. I don't know about Carl, but I wouldn't have played golf if it wasn't for Tiger. So, yes, we are big Tiger fans. Can't wait to check out the next book from our next guest. Carl, it's Bob Herrig. We've spoken to Bob a million times on the tour. He's got a new book out, Drive, The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods. Bob, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, we're stoked. What made you – I know it's a compelling topic. What was the idea behind the book?
Well, I think the main initial focus was, you know, that was an incredible Masters win that he had in 2019. And everything that went into that, you know, really sort of it really intrigued me. Like, you know, it wasn't just Tiger at the top of the game like he had been – so many times. It was Tiger coming back from a very, very serious back surgery that many thought that, you know, was going to end his career. And frankly, he didn't know what it was going to mean. The surgery was done for quality of life. He was in immense pain and he had been for the better part of 3 years, and he couldn't find any relief. And finally his people, you know, decided we need to get something done here. And they went and visited consultants, and it ended up turning out to be that he had this spinal fusion surgery, which was meant to help him, you know, walk properly and be able to get around with his kids and be able to sit down without pain. And there was no guarantees that he was going to be a top-level golfer again. And yet, almost 2 years to the day, he won his 15th major at the Masters. And I thought that a deep dive into that was really worth it. And yet, in the researching of it, I came to recognize that, you know, that's really been Tiger's whole career, resiliency, you know, drive, the title of the book. He has a different gear that most of us do not have. He has a personality trait that gets him to never quit, you know, and he gets rid of the things in his mind that we all might find to be human nature, like, you know, I'm just not going to put as much effort into this, I'm fine where I am right now. And Tiger always pushed beyond that, and the book is filled with those examples, from his cut streak to, you know, coming back after shooting an 85 to coming back to win the Masters, and even the most recent car crash, which, you know, he remarkably played in the Masters 14 months later and made the cut.
Yeah, Bob, when we talk about him making the cut, what's the number? There was a streak of, what, 142 consecutive made cuts? I mean, that number is incredible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways to put that in context. Nobody during the entire Tiger era has even gotten halfway. So nobody's even gotten to 71 made cuts in a row. In fact, I don't think anybody's gotten beyond like 52 or 3. Steve Stricker might have done it about 10, 12 years ago. Adam Scott got into the high 40s. Right now, the longest streak on the PGA Tour is 42 by Xander Schauffele. Huh. So Xander Schauffele only has 100 more to go to tie Tiger, which would take him about 5 years.
Right.
You know, because there's, yeah, I mean, that's saying that, you know, he's not going to probably play 25 tournaments a year. If he did, he would need to play 25 a year, make every cut for 4 more years to be able just to tie Tiger. And, you know, that's That to me might be his most underrated accomplishment in golf, because obviously the goal isn't to make cuts, but to have that level of consistency where you never miss, it's just phenomenal.
It's a book about Tiger Woods, guys. That amazing weekend of the Masters back in 19. It's Bob Harrig. It's called Drive, The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods. The funny thing for us, Bob, is that weekend, Carl and I got off it was a Thursday, Friday, and we had a guy that's working nights here. And he goes, and he started the show with, oh, this stuff with Tiger Woods, these guys got to turn the page. He's never winning another major. So it was so perfect on so many levels. But the entire world, I got to be honest, that's why I'll still never bet against him, although now the odds seem longer than ever because of the injuries.
Yeah, it's a huge ask right now. You know, in 2019, Tiger wasn't expected to win, but he had played a full season in 2018 and won the Tour Championship in Atlanta. And he also, in 19, played five times for the Masters and showed some form. You know, like he wasn't necessarily contending, but he didn't miss any cuts, and he made it to the semifinals of the match play, which was his last tournament. He beat Rory McIlroy at that event in match play. You know, Tiger was gearing up. He was competitive. And right now, you know, he's played one tournament and he played 24 holes before he withdrew with illness. And he didn't play at the Players' Championship a couple of weeks ago where we thought he might. So he's going to go to Augusta in a couple of weeks with very little golf since December. And we just don't know what he's going to have. Like, how much has he been practicing and playing at home? Is he getting the short game dialed in? Is he working at it? Is he feeling okay? You know, how's the walking going? He's obviously improved a lot since last year's Masters. He had ankle surgery. And he said in December at the Hero tournament, where he did play 72 holes and looked pretty good, that his ankle is not a problem anymore. That he feels good about that. That he has other issues, but he actually brought it up. He said he thought he could play once a month. For some reason, he didn't do that, and so now there's a lot of questions again.
Bob, I got to ask you about LIV and the PGA. We're we're having issues because we want to see the best guys every weekend. What do you know, and what's the latest on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the mentality of the fans right now. You know, need to figure out a way to get these guys together beyond the majors. How do you do that? How does that happen? Do you have a system where LIV guys could come back and play some PGA Tour events? Do you have a system where you have a separate kind of a entity of tour of events that sees everybody funnel into it from the major tours that allows them to play together? Would LIV still exist? Would it be, you know, still run separate? Would there be LIV tournaments as part of the tour? I mean, I've just off the top of my head thrown out like five different things. And yet the people who have to make these decisions have to really think that through and figure it out. There's still a lot of animosity on the tour towards guys who left and spoke badly about the tour. You remember 10 or 11 of them actually sued the PGA Tour. You know, a bunch of players took that personally because it meant they were being sued, in essence. Do they just get to come right back? Is there some, you know, they've formed this new company called PGA Tour Enterprises, which is for profit. Whatever they do has to make a lot of money if you're going to get the investment return that the Strategic Sports Group has put in over $1.5 billion. Well, how do you get that back?
Right.
You've got to have something pretty big, I think. And if you bring in the public investment fund and they put money in, well, they're going to want a return. Well, what do they do? Do they put up a $100 million tournament in Saudi Arabia and invite the top 70 players in the world and have $20 million go to the winner? Could they get TV rights? Oh, these are all things, you know, just sort of, you know, back of the napkin type things that are out there that they need to come up with. But yet we seem to be sort of stuck in quicksand right now. It's been 9 months since the big, you know, framework agreement, and it doesn't seem like they're very far along in getting anything done with the public investment fund. Mm.
Yep, it's Bob Harrod, guys, PGA Insider. We were of the opinion it was going to be like hunky-dory and let's get back to work, and yet none of that has been forthcoming. Now, the players did have some big names, and Scottie Scheffler, the first guy to ever go back-to-back. Ironically, your book's about Tiger, and Shoffley was the runner-up that year in the Masters in 19. Is Shoffley just going to be one of those dudes who never wins the big one?
You know what? Right now, he just needs to win something. Yeah. You know, he hasn't won since the Scottish Open in 2022. He won back-to-back tournaments that year and now hasn't won since. Patrick Cantlay hasn't won in a long time either. You know, and these guys are top 10 players in the world, but they're not winning. The fact that they're still top 10 suggests how consistent they are. You know, the game could use somebody to step up and dominate. Scheffler's on the verge of that, and that would probably be good for golf. Golf is weird that way. We like somebody who dominates, unlike team sports where we like parity. Parity's not that great in golf. You know, we like it when somebody steps up, and then we're curious if he can keep it going or can somebody beat him. And so, you know, we've just been lacking that a little bit here lately. You know, Scheffler was great last year, but he won only twice. Rahm won four times on tour, but not after the Masters. And then, of course, now he's with Liv, and he's not one out there.
Yep.
So it's you know, it's a interesting time in golf, and I think it's going to continue this way for a while. I don't think there will be any resolution for the time being.
How can people get the book, Bob?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think the best way, an easy way, is just to go to Amazon and order it. And my experience is it'll be on your doorstep tomorrow if you do that.
Yeah.
But there's other places, Barnes & Noble. I mean, you can order online from them, too. You can order from Target, Books A Million. It's at all the places the books are. It's in the bookstores now, which is kind of cool to go see your own book at the bookstore. My mom is somewhere rearranging them near where she lives, putting them more prominent than they are probably. So, it's a fun time, and I appreciate you guys highlighting it for me.
Right on. Well, we always appreciate your feedback. Hopefully we'll catch up with you right before the Masters or after. Thanks again, Bob.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Got it. Bob Harrod, guys, the book is called Drive, the Last Legacy of Tiger Woods. And again, I was just reading the synopsis while we were talking to him, and it's, you know, everyone just takes it for granted that Tiger had this God-given skill, but he's got the work ethic. I mean, he's the first guy that got in the gym. You look at Rory. Rory looked like Pat from Saturday Night Live. Remember? It's Pat. And now Rory, like these guys, all look like they're carved out of wood that are on tour. Interesting what he said about Shoffley, though. I mean, so Shoffley's going to be basically Steve Stricker. A guy's always going to be top five, never wins anything.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He won tournaments, but never won a major.
That's not what you
tune in for. You tune in for the dudes with
the
resume.
No, you want dominance. You want to his point, that's why Tiger resonates. You want dominance. And I keep thinking it's going to be one of these guys, and then all these guys left for Liv. And now I think it's a toss-up to say who's going to dominate golf for the next 10 years.
Yeah. And you just want your old PGA back with all the big names, especially when you get to the Tour Championship later in the year. Hey, man, we got plenty more to dive into. The Blitz. The new rule book's here. More rules. And Roger Goodell says the investigation into the Falcons continues. Blitz is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.